Say La La Land.
Yeah.
Final answer?
Yeah.
That is correct. Winston, you win a copy of Casablanca.
There you go.
Oh, there we go.
There you go. All right.
Classic.
This has been Watch This on WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts. We will talk about Stripes in 1941, another day. And coming up next is The Big Picture with Derek and Shay. Thanks for listening to your Freeform station, WMFO in Medford. Thank you to Daniela and to Winston.
Hey, thanks for having me,
thanks
man.
Thanks for having us.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
Bye, all.
WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. It is The Big Picture. Derek Gary and Shea Spillane with you until 9 o'clock tonight. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. 855-915-WMFO. Punch that into your phone. Give us a call. We love to hear from our listeners.
We do indeed.
Sometimes I can even figure out how to put them on the air.
It is very impressive when you actually press the right button.
It's always,
I must say, I look over and I'm like, Derek, how do you do it?
Always a miracle when that happens. Stick around tonight because I will screw up pressing buttons on the board at some point.
I'm very excited about it.
In the next 2 hours. That is a guarantee. You get that free with every show. If I ever pull off a perfect show, I'm just going to be stunned and possibly ashamed of myself.
I would say, I think both of us will just burst into flames.
Yeah.
Like, it'll just be, like, that will be the sign of the apocalypse.
It's just not allowed to happen.
It's fun when we're a hot mess, though, which is, you know, most of the time.
Yeah.
So.
Coming up later tonight, we're going to be talking about what's going on with the Brett Kavanaugh, Blasey Ford situation down there in Washington, D.C. Also.
So much fun.
Ernie and Bert. Like, a lot of controversy surrounding Ernie and Bert the last couple of days.
Oh, my God. I can't wait to talk about this.
Oh, boy.
Oh, the absurdity.
Oh, boy. It is a rough, rough time to be an American, is all I'm going to say.
If there's a controversy surrounding Sesame Street, I mean... Oh.
We are through the looking glass. We are through the looking glass. That is not the right... I already...
Oh, we called it. My God. I was going to say less than 3 minutes into the show. I'm just downright impressed now, Derek.
Oh, my God. Oh, God. You know, here's the problem.
There's only one?
Here is the problem. I've been doing this show.
My car just died at the bottom of Boston Avenue, and I'm still wearing my stupid waitressing uniform. So this, like, started off the rails.
Yeah, well, I just got my car back from the dealer today.
How fun.
Because...
You bring your car to the dealer?
Yeah, because my transmission stopped working.
You know, it'd be faster to just set money on fire, right?
No, it didn't cost me anything. Part was still under warranty. Not bad for a six-year-old car.
Yeah, not too shabby.
For years...
Shoot, I hope that's not what's wrong with mine.
For several years, no. Yours sounds an awful lot like an alternator problem.
Oh, good.
That's not the worst thing it could be.
It's just... I love... Greg Murphy has a joke. For those of you who don't know, Greg Murphy, great Boston comic. He has a joke. He says, so the check engine light went on my dashboard the other day. I don't get why they bother having all these little symbols. They should just have a bunch of dollar signs pop up.
Yeah.
Because I'm in no position to get my car fixed. So I'm just saying, I mean, like, maybe I'll just, like, walk to work in Cambridge for a while.
Yeah, no, I don't think that's going to work for you. So for years, we've done this show and led off with a piece of music called Newsroom from The Wonderful World of Music, written by Robert R. Way for a local radio station years ago. But we've changed the format. We now collapsed the news and Did You Hear into the same thing.
Yeah, they're a hybrid.
So
at this point,
so what I had done out of habit was log in Newsroom as the next song that I was going to play, and then hit the button, and Gladys Knight comes up, and I'm like, wait, no, that's not right. But in fact, Gladys Knight is exactly right. This is what we should be hearing right now.
I was going to say, I thought that was correct. Come on, Derek. Look alive.
You know, the problem is you make changes. I am a creature of habit. And
it's like when you... Oh, you wouldn't... I was going to say it's like when you get a haircut and then it's weird the first time you shampoo. But you wouldn't know about that, would you, Baldy?
They switched Channel 7 and Channel 4 here in Boston back in the 1980s.
Are you still recovering?
I still get them mixed up. I still get them mixed 34 years. And I still get it wrong. I was 14 or 15 when that change happened. It rocked my world.
My goodness, you're a creature of habit.
I can't deal with change. Shay, what do we got going on?
I'm going to start off with local news. This is going to be an easy one. I'm throwing you a softball to start off. Gas.
Are prices up?
Gas leak. How's that? You're kidding me,
has someone
me,
been
right?
evacuated? Oh, no. Believe me, I know all too well what happened in Andover, North Andover, and Lawrence, because it consumed a good chunk of my weekend.
I imagine so.
It was a rough... Let me just say, overall, was a rough weekend in the Merrimack Valley. Because in addition...
Oh my God, that footage was terrifying.
In addition to the gas explosions in the Merrimack Valley, there was also an E. coli outbreak in the town of Stoneham that kind of leaked over near my house. Didn't affect my water, but affected my wife's mom.
Were there a couple people with Ebola rolling around too?
Because that's but then on Saturday, there was a plane crash in Woburn.
Cute.
So it's been nonstop fun in the valley, but hands down, the absolute worst. 70 separate incidents of explosions and fires after gas lines belonging to Columbia Gas. Something happened. Yeah, we don't know what happened.
I would say there were three major explosions last Thursday around like 4:15 p.m. caused as many as 80 homes to be burned down or damaged. 25 people were injured. There was one casualty, which, I mean, it's crazy. It was an 18-year-old from Lawrence who was killed when a chimney from one of the houses that was exploding fell on the car he was in. But the good news is that thousands of people were allowed to return to their homes on Sunday.
Lionel Rondon was the young man. And this is the worst kind of tragedy. Partly because it's a young man. All right? He had just gotten his driver's license that day.
Oh, my goodness.
So he's sitting in the driveway of a friend's house with two other friends in the car. The house was one of the first to explode. Didn't catch on fire, just exploded. And when it exploded, the chimney fell onto his car. So he was killed. His two friends who were in the car were both severely injured. Mm. I heard one report that said one of those kids lost both of his legs. And it's like, wrong place, wrong time. Because for all the other injuries that there were, a lot of them were shrapnel injuries. Some people had some burns, but nothing like the worst was this chimney falling on a car. And it just, the odds of it happening, it's heartbreaking how tragic that one is.
And like, so, I mean, just so random, like of all the, I mean, that is just the epitome of wrong place, wrong time.
Yeah. Yeah, it's almost falls into death by misadventure category. Yeah.
I was going to say, that's some Final Destination stuff right there.
That is. And my heart goes out to the families affected by this because it's ridiculous that it happened in the first place.
Yeah.
And for that accident to go down the way that it did was just horrifying.
When the explosions were happening and when all these places were catching fire, I fell asleep before there was too much information about like casualties or injuries or things like that. They were still just trying to figure out what the heck was going on.
Yeah.
But I was picturing waking up the following morning to, you know, multiple, at least double digits death. And I mean, good for the emergency response teams that were involved. I'm not trying to discount the fact that this young man died, but the fact that it was such a freak accident that was the one casualty in this massive, massive, like, disaster.
Yeah.
Is pretty impressive.
If there was a silver lining to what happened last Thursday, number one was the time of day when most people weren't home. Number two was sort of the nature of what happened, because what we've been told, this is not confirmed, and do not take me as an authoritative source on this, but what we've been told...
Or much else.
What we've heard is that the gas lines became overpressurized.
Yeah.
So basically when that happens, you've got, you know, far more gas going into the system than gas valves and nozzles are designed to handle. So the gas gets out, and a lot of the gas gets out. So in most cases, what happened was people's furnaces caught on fire, people's stoves caught on fire, and as soon as people saw the flames,
they just bolted.
They got the heck out of the house.
Yeah.
There were only a few houses that actually exploded because they hit that critical mass of gas inside where any kind of a spark will set it off. So that probably helped to save lives in this situation and helped to reduce injuries in this situation. But the property damage is horrendous. These gas customers are not going to have gas anytime in the near future. I mean, we're talking weeks before some of them are going to see their gas turned back on. The power is back on, so that's a plus. But, you know, if you need a hot shower, good luck.
It's, God, I just can't even, I remember I was in the convenience store when the story broke. And I just looked up, I was like, why is there smoke pouring out of every crevice of that gigantic building? Which yeah. turned out to be a retirement home, which luckily they get everybody out of there.
Yeah. I've heard about things like this happening. You don't ever think it can happen around here. Apparently, some of these gas lines are in that area date back to the 1850s, which is when my house was built. Now, let me tell you about my house.
Which, when a lot of houses in New England were built.
Pretty well-built house. I love my house. But, you know, after 150 years, it's showing its age in some places. Not sure I want the 150-year-old gas line running through my house, is what
That's
I'm saying.
Fair.
Arthur Medici.
Arthur Medici.
Yes.
Is this the thing I have? No, I don't know.
Arthur Medici became the first person in Massachusetts since 1936 to be killed by a shark when he was bitten while surfing at Newcomb Hollow Beach in Wellfleet. This is the second shark attack This is the second shark attack on the Cape in about a month. In August, there was a man bitten by a white shark at Longnook Beach in Truro. That was the guy from New York that punched the shark in the gills, and the shark let go. Apparently, Mr. Medici suffered a very, very serious leg wound, and they did everything that they could to try and help him, and they got him to Cape Cod Hospital, and by the time they got him there, it was too late. So, sharks, kids, they got the shocks. They got a wicked lot of shocks out there, guy. Somebody call Roy Scheide. He'll know what to do. So this is like, they're freaking out down on the Cape now because nobody can go in the water because there's sharks. And now everybody's sort of like exactly what you saw in the movie Jaws, where all the business community is walking around like, well, this is going to harm tourism. And what are you going to do about the sharks? Everybody's sitting around going like, we're not going to do anything about the sharks. We can't do anything about the sharks. And they're like, why don't you do something about the seals? And it's like, we can't do anything about the seals either. The seal population has grown from 20,000 on the Cape to 50,000. This is why the sharks are here.
I was going to say, I mean, it's the equivalent of if you find out that a restaurant has really good sushi, everyone's going to flock to the restaurant.
Yeah, they have absolutely abundant food supply.
And the irony is that I remember when I learned about, cause you know me, I am a fish. I love swimming in the ocean and all of that. So I try to keep abreast about, you know, what makes sharks want to bite you. But that's one of the things is that humans
being in the water is what makes sharks want to bite you.
No, so. Humans, when they swim, appear to a shark's eye appear to be injured seals.
Yes. And that goes double if you're on a surfboard.
And I was going to say...
Which Mr. Medici was. Well, he's a surfer.
I was going to say, well, that's the irony, is that sharks actually, like, have no taste for human. Like, they don't... We're not what they want to eat. It's just a matter... It's seriously a case of mistaken identity.
Yeah. that offers no comfort for, you know, people who are afraid of the... You should be afraid of the sharks. This is an apex predator that is hanging out in the water. And you don't know where it is... And if it's hungry, it may take a chunk out of you, and that could be it. So, be interesting to see how next summer looks down on the Cape with the sharks hanging around.
Ay, ay, ay. Well, for national news, I'm going to say New York Diocese of Brooklyn.
Paid out a $25 million settlement.
27.5.
I knew there was a five in there. And it was the largest single settlement ever for a... sexual abuse case.
Yes, and what I found very interesting about this is that it was a lay church education director. I explained to my non-Catholic friend what this means last night. So this is
not that definition of lay, folks.
Yes. No, it is not. So a lay person in the Catholic Church means somebody who is not actually technically holds any religious standing, holds any. So it's not a priest, not a deacon, not a nun, not a, it's a civilian, if you will.
Is that why the clergy can pray on them? Because they are lay people and they're interpreting that word incorrectly?
Oh, I'm going to throw something at you. I found this very interesting. So like each of the young men will receive 6.875 million from the diocese and from the after-school program that was affiliated with all of this. And they stayed anonymous, but it's the largest settlement on record involving abuse of minors by Roman Catholic Church figures, which is the only one before it was two victims received. It's almost double the amount received by two victims in Rockville Center, New York in 2008. The men who are now 19 to 21 said in court documents they were repeatedly raped from 2003 to 2009. By Angelo Serrano, who is a former director of religious education where they went to school. And what I find so interesting about this is he was arrested in 2009 and pled guilty to first degree sexual misconduct. He's serving 15 years with his earliest release date in 2022. But one of the priests testified in a deposition that he saw Serrano kiss an 8 or 9 year old boy on the mouth in the church office, but didn't do anything about it. And what I find so interesting about this story is just that it's amazing that because you think this is one guy, and I'm not discounting what he did by any means, but this is one guy and they're getting this huge settlement. There are hundreds of priests who have been named for doing the exact same thing and have just been transferred or disappeared. I hope this sets some sort of precedent, but I did find it very interesting that it was a civilian, that it was somebody who just worked for the Catholic Church and was not actually a religious figure. And there's so many. There's probably thousands, I would say. I mean, think of the list that came out. When did the Boston Archdiocese story break? I think when I was a senior in high school.
Well, it first started breaking in the 1990s with individual cases against priests. That eventually led the Globe Spotlight team to investigate.
And they made like a 100 priest long list.
I think it was around 2001 that they
I was going to say I was in high school. I remember that. But it was like for every one priest that was named, there were probably at least 10 victims. Like
This wasn't like one off. These guys were child predators.
Yeah. And it's just it's very interesting to me that obviously he was arrested in 2009. This didn't happen overnight, but that this happened with four men against one man.
Well, when we're talking about pedophiles, and, you know, in the same way that normal heterosexuals will date multiple people, pedophiles will date multiple people.
Oh, yeah.
And the other side of it is, you know, the Catholic Church... knowingly or not, I'd like to believe not, created an environment where somebody like this could flourish.
If you're
a layperson and you walk in and the priests are all like banging kids,
you're like, oh, I can get away with this too.
I can bang kids here. All right.
Well, that I think is the ultimate problem that I hope this sets some sort of precedent, but that I think is the ultimate problem is that historically and routinely the Catholic Church protects the wrong people. They're protecting the perpetrators, not the victims. And this, I'm not trying to shy away like, oh, it was only four kids. Obviously, it's a huge deal, but the fact remains that there are so many priests who had 10, 15, 20 going upwards victims that are just walking free. because they're protected by their collar.
Yeah.
Like it, as a former Catholic, it's very bothersome.
Yeah. By the way, having read a good chunk of the Philadelphia Report, the whole thing's like 300 pages long. I haven't read all of it, but I've read a good portion of it. Same situation. This wasn't a case where like a priest touched a kid and that was the end of it. There are multiple victims associated with nearly everybody who was named in that report.
Oh, of course.
So. Ancestry.com.
Ancestry.com is a website.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. That's all I get for you.
I believe it's run by the Mormons. I think the Church of... I think they're involved in this.
that's ironic since Mormons traditionally have so many relatives.
Yes. Well, that's the reason why, is because they were the ones that started the whole genealogy
thing.
Yeah, they
were like, we need to look into these 500 people.
And when genealogy became a thing online, it turned out that they had the biggest database out of anybody. So they started the whole big like ancestry registry, and that's pretty much their gig now. But they also do DNA testing because they bought one of the companies, and they updated their formula to calculate ethnicity. A lot of people not too happy with the results because
a lot of people are unhappy about their ethnicity
because apparently a lot of them are less Italian than they thought. The Italians seem to be getting the most realignment here.
Oh, that sounds like an Irish person.
A sampling of comments on Twitter. Hey, Ancestry, are you sure your Italian samples for the new update are accurate? I went from being 20% Italian to 5%. My bio mom was 50% Italian, and I have traced the family tree many generations on her maternal and paternal lines. What gives? This from T. Burke. Why is everyone's Italian heritage and percentages going down huge or being removed? It's crazy. Arturo S. Perez. My first results were 49% Italian Greece, then renamed Europe South with 49%, and now only 7% Italian and 0% Greece with the update. Dom had this to say, I'm not Hispanic anymore.
I'm not Hispanic anymore.
And then we have
that Lynn. That is adorable.
And then we have Lynn Taylor. So long, Scandinavian ancestors. It was nice to believe you were real for a while.
Well, what I love, I love that the biggest outrage is from Italians or lesser, less Italians than they thought they were. I don't even know how to word that properly.
Yeah.
But the trend, I'm looking at this right now, the trend is actually traced to an Italian physician and geneticist.
Yeah.
Named Luigi Luca Cavalli Sforza. Like, can you get a more Italian name?
You know, the Italians are very proud of the heritage, and you're taking that away from them.
And it's somebody who is, he is 100% Italian that made this possible. Oh, goodness.
The Italians are saying affanabla to the ancestry update.
Affanapoli.
Affanabla. You're Italian, you know what that means.
In world news, I'm going to say SpaceX.
SpaceX. They're going to send somebody around the moon. Mm-hmm. There was an announcement of who it's going to be, and like I still don't know who it is. Is it somebody? Is it Bieber?
So it's...
Is Bieber going around the moon?
No, thank God it's not.
Is it one of these rappers?
I think it's actually...
Is it Tekashi 69?
Don't make me throw things at you, Derek. I'm actually really excited about this. So it's Yusaku Maezawa, who's a billionaire. He's the founder and CEO of a Japanese fashion retailer called Zozo. But he plans, what I think is very cool, is that his plan is to invite 6 to 8 artists to join him on the mission, which he's calling the Dear Moon Project. But he said he got the idea after thinking about seeing the moon up close and how it might affect some of his favorite artists.
Hmm.
So he hasn't said...
That's interesting.
Like he hasn't said the artists that he plans to bring on the voyage, but suffice it to say, they're current, famous, very successful visual artists. And I like that. That's the thing, is like reading about this, I was like, oh, thank God it's not Justin Bieber. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You think of... so often. I mean, I remember, I don't know why I connected these in my brain, but when they came out with just off the coast of Dubai, when they, those man-made islands, I believe it's literally just called the world.
Yeah.
But it was just a bunch of cheesy celebrities buying like, oh, like I am the one that looks like Iceland.
Yeah.
Like, and I think it's very cool that it's not just him being like, I'm going to invite Kim Kardashian and Kanye West. It's like he's actually trying to do something really cool with this, I mean, one in a billion opportunity.
Elon Musk has his moments. He really does have his moments. He also smokes pot on Joe Rogan's podcast. But when he's not doing that, he has his moments.
Are you kidding? That makes me like him even better.
Yeah. He's just all over the place.
A dude that was obsessed. My favorite Elon Musk thing is that there was a dude that was obsessed with Nikola Tesla and his old laboratory. I think it's in like rural Pennsylvania.
Yeah,
His old laboratory was up for sale. And
well, they were going to tear it down.
And so this guy wrote a proposal basically being like, yo, like you own Tesla. Your whole company wouldn't exist.
It wasn't just any guy. It was the creator of the oatmeal that wrote that whole appeal to Elon Musk.
Oh, I was going to say, I was like, it was someone who has like a famous blog, but
yeah. So no, it was the oatmeal. And if you don't read the oatmeal, you should.
So he wrote this whole proposal, just tweeted it at Elon Musk. And Elon Musk was like, okay, how much money do you need?
Yeah.
And he tossed like $2 million at him, not just to buy the building, but to restore it and to turn it into a Tesla museum.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, is that Elon Musk is one of those people that, like, yeah, sometimes you're like, you dumb billionaire. But a lot of times he does what one would hope someone in his position which is to use the abilities that he has, use the money that he has, use the opportunities that he has to do cool things.
The thing that gets me about Elon Musk is this guy is equal parts Thomas Edison and P.T. Barnum. And when those are in balance, it's really cool watching him do what he does. But the P.T. Barnum side of him takes over and takes over way too much. Way too much of the time. And you sit there and you look at all the stuff that the guy's talking about and all the stuff the guy wants to do, and you're like, can you actually do any of this? You know, or is this the sideshow?
But I know just what you're saying, and I agree, but that's kind of the beauty of the way that his mind works is, yeah, a lot of the stuff that he comes up with is just not feasible. It's not. He'll say things and you'll be like, yo, okay, Elon. But a lot of it is, and he makes it happen. Like, this is very cool. It is very cool that a civilian, not only that a civilian is going to orbit the moon, but that he's using the opportunity to try to inspire people who already have these great creative minds.
Yeah.
And I mean, even as you know, I believe I've spoken about, I minored in art in college. It turned into a major. They sent me a letter being like, you had extra credits that we didn't notice. Do you want to have a double major? I was like, uh-huh. Where do I sign? But I remember.
Yeah, because that art major makes you employable.
I'm going to punch you. But I remember in my drawing class, like I'm a creative person, but like in my drawing class, my teacher gave me a B+ because quote unquote, clearly I was trying. It's just like, you're not good at this. Nice. I'm good at graphic design and stuff. But as a creative person in general, though, like it is, I mean, I imagine getting up close to the surface of the moon, that's, I mean, talk about something inspiring, especially because, you know, I mean, when there is like a super moon, I sit there and stare at it. Can you imagine just being next to it? It's amazing.
Could just go to Utah.
I mean, I've been to Utah.
Yeah, those parts of that desert look like the moon.
Yeah, but they're not the freaking moon.
Yeah. No, I think that's very cool that's who's going. That's who I would want to go.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's the thing is, like I said, I would much prefer some Japanese billionaire that's going to do something cool with it than, like I said, Kim and Kanye being like, oh my God, we're going to the moon.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, yeah, not.
Ugh.
Bad cholesterol. Bad cholesterol.
Bad cholesterol.
Down, bad cholesterol. Down.
Down, bad cholesterol. Something, the heart disease thing.
Yes.
So, like, so everyone always thought that the two were connected, that having bad cholesterol meant that you had a predisposition for heart disease, or more likely to, but the two, apparently a new study shows that they just don't.
Yeah.
The two have nothing to do with one another.
17 doctors around the world looked at a bunch of studies of 1.3 million patients and basically said there is no connection between bad cholesterol and heart disease. There is no connection between bad cholesterol and clogging of the arteries. The same type of LDL-C cholesterol that is called the bad cholesterol is a major component of clogging of the arteries, but the levels of bad cholesterol in your body have nothing to do with that. That's what they've said, and what this really comes down to, this is from a study that was published in Expert Review of Clinical Pharmacology. Basically, what they're saying is stop giving people statins. This is really about statin prescriptions. Everybody's getting statins. So again, your cholesterol goes up a little bit. They're like, here, take statins. And what these doctors said is there is zero evidence that statins are doing anything for anybody unless you already have heart disease. If you already have heart disease, keep on taking the statins because the statins are good. If you are taking statins to control your bad cholesterol or you're worried about your bad cholesterol, forget it. It does nothing. So that's a pretty huge development that actually made a lot of noise internationally, but it seems to have been quietly swept under the rug here in the United States, where Big Pharma is selling a lot of statin pills. So if you go and see your doctor about your heart, you may want to ask him about that study and whether or not you really need to be taking those statins. As a rule of thumb, if a medication is doing you no good, you do not take it. Stop taking it.
I was going to say, that's my least favorite. And I know it's just like everyone talks about this, but when you're watching commercials about medications and it's like, so it's going to fix this one thing, but here's the 19 things that it's going to make way worse.
That's why you don't take it, because you're basically putting an excess of something into your body. And if that excess of something corrects a problem that you have, that's a good thing. But
if it brings about five more.
An excess of anything can have unintended consequences. So talk to your doc about the statins and have an extra piece of fried chicken.
Ooh, fried chicken.
Unless you have heart disease, in which case
maybe have a salad.
If you have heart disease, do not have the extra piece of fried chicken. I had three pieces of fried chicken today.
Oh, fried chicken sounds really good right now. In sports news, I'm going to go with the Bears.
The Bears. The Chicago Bears?
Yes, those ones.
Boy, damn, did they put a beat down on the Seattle Seahawks on Monday night.
This is true, but it's not what I was referencing.
Khalil Mack is a force of nature, and that is a real football team.
I'll give you more of a hint. This is a warm and fuzzy
All of my football,
non-football performance.
You can probably nail me with football all season long, because if it's not related to fantasy, I'm not reading it. I'm just like, what? What are they doing? You want to talk about the finer points of the 16 games that were played this last weekend? I'm your guy. But if they did something nice off the field, I don't know. I'm not there for that.
All right, then. I shall enlighten you. The Bears announced yesterday that the team's players have pledged a $250,000 donation towards social justice initiatives, and the team is going to match that donation. The Bears players are the first in the NFL to maximize the matching program put in place by the league, and the team said that it will match any additional funds that the players donate above that figure.
That's very nice.
Yeah. I was going to say, I was like, get it, Chicago. And also, it's just really fun to say, the Bears, the Bulls, the Bears.
American League East Championship banner.
there's the AL East
and or no.
Banner.
I should say American League Division Championship Banner.
Is it pretty?
This has been blowing up on the news all day long.
I've been working all day, D.
So, oh, that's right, you have. All right, so, this is interesting. The Red Sox may clinch the AL East tonight. They win. Mm. They ordered a banner that they were going to unveil whenever they clinch that game. The banner somehow disappeared on Monday. A guy from Malden named Louis Iacuzzi, 44 years old, said that he found the banner.
Yeah, I'm sure he found it.
On Monday, on the McGrath Highway in Somerville. Just found it.
What?
Found it in the street. According to Iacuzzi, this is from the Boston Globe, he was driving with friends on the McGrath Highway around 7 a.m. on Monday when they spotted an object that was forcing cars to swerve. I noticed a couple cars swinging, like moving to the right, and we seen something in the street, Iacuzzi said, the Boston Globe not bothering to correct him at all. So I ran across the highway to grab it. We brought it in the car. We had no idea what it was. And then they found that it was the 2018 American League East Championship banner. So...
oh my goodness. If ever there was a jinx, this is it.
So, normal people would just be like, hey, John Henry, got your banner over here. Where can we drop it? Or maybe you just go to Fenway and like
just
knock
like,
on a door and be like...
this was in the middle of McGrath Highway.
Not Mr. Iacuzzi and his friends. No. According to
I'm looking at a picture of the three of them right now.
As he said to the Globe, quote, "We're trying to do the right thing, but I'm not just going to hand it to them. Know what I mean?" Yes, we know exactly what you mean, Mr. Iacuzzi. And once you went to the press and the Sox found out you had the banner, you got nothing.
You freaking dummy.
So they were basically trying to blackmail the Sox and give them like free tickets or money.
Yeah, I was going to say, they probably thought, I mean, it's a piece of fabric. Like they probably, oh God. Like that's what, when I'm in other cities and people give me, what's a radio word I can use, give me guff about like the way Bostonians are, I defend us to the death. But this is one of the examples of what they're talking about. Is like, hey kid, I found this banner. I bet they're gonna give us season tickets if we just hoard it. Like, are you kidding me?
His friend James Amaral noted, quote, "We're working too. I mean, my man had to run across three lanes of traffic." Amaral also issued an ultimatum to the hometown team. Quote, "If they do try to put a duplicate up, you best believe we're going to show up and say, that's not the original. We're hoping they do the right thing. You know, we did the right thing. We could have kept it. We could have put it on eBay. You know, we got connections where we could have reached out to other sources."
I'm sorry, you can't hear on the radio that I'm just shaking my head with my face in my hand right now.
Something tells me.
Absurd.
There's a detail of this story that we're missing. And that the banner was not found in the middle of the McGrath Highway at 7 a.m.
It just doesn't make any sense.
Okay. Who is jumping out of a car to grab a box in the middle of the road?
Oh, he has an elbow tattoo. That's cute.
Who does that? Who jumps out of a car in the middle of the road to go get a box?
I was going to say, that's the thing. That is the biggest, like, about this story.
Yeah.
Is like, I drive a McGrath Highway every single day. The only way that I am stopping... and it's a highway. Like, it's not like 93, but it's people whip down that thing. We're not talking like, oh, I can toss my flashers on and this won't be too dangerous. Like, the only way that I'm stopping for anything I see in the middle of the road is if there are $100 bills flying out of the box.
Yep.
That's in the middle of the road.
And by the way, that's a crime if you do that, so.
Otherwise, I'm... There's something fishy about this.
Yeah, this whole story doesn't add up. And believe me, if this thing had legitimately fallen out of the van and somebody found it and called the Red Sox, they're going to give you some tickets. If you're like, did you guys lose a banner because I found this thing? They're going to be like, yes, we did. Can you bring it over? It's like, here you go. It's like, here's some tickets to tonight's game. It's like, they got tickets. The fact that these guys got nothing tells me that there is more to this story.
Oh, yeah.
That we're not hearing.
I bet, honestly, it's, I bet you that it's something like whoever, whatever truck was carrying the banner pulled over to the gas station or something, and these guys took it out of the back.
Yeah.
Like, something like that.
Yeah.
This is, I mean, can you get more euphemistic than saying it fell off the back of a truck?
I found it.
Like, where have we all heard that expression before?
That one stopped working when I was 14 years old.
Say,
where'd you get that road sign? Found it in the street under some leaves. No, you didn't. Go put it back. Well, come on. By the way, where
did you get those cigarettes? Why is there Russian writing on them?
By the way, I encourage anyone with an interest in this story or with an interest in the towny antics here in Massachusetts to go online and see the broadcast coverage of this with the interviews with these gentlemen, because they are priceless. They are those people we make fun of.
I would say I don't even have to watch them because I can do impressions of their accents and their demeanor.
Malden, ladies and gentlemen, Malden.
Ay. Okay, in entertainment news, I'm going to say Mrs. Maisel.
Won the most Emmy Awards the other night. Mm-hmm. Seven, I think.
Eight.
Yeah, won a whole bunch of them Emmy Awards. I saw the actress who plays, this is the one about the comedy thing, right?
Yes. So I was going to say, so she's...
What's her name, the one that plays Mrs. Maisel?
Rachel Brosnahan.
Rachel Brosnahan. I saw her off-Broadway in Othello. With Daniel Craig and David Oyelowo.
Oh my God, that's a lineup.
She's a tiny thing.
She's so dynamic, though. That's the thing, is she's tiny, but she fills a room.
But she's like this little, it's amazing how small she is. And it's like, but she's exactly as you say, like, personality is a thousand times bigger than she is.
Yeah, so she won Best Lead Actress. The show itself won Outstanding Comedy. Alex Borstein, who I absolutely love, won Best Supporting Actress. And then Amy Sherman-Palladino won both Best Director and Best Writer, which is, I mean, that's pretty dope. And I think, Amy Sherman-Palladino, I think she was Gilmore Girls.
Yes.
I was going to say, that's, because I know, like, I looked at her name and was like, there's something that I was like, that I was obsessed with for a while.
Yes.
That this woman is responsible along with her husband.
My wife will remind you endlessly that that's what it is.
Oh, you mean your wife that has a Gilmore Girls themed phone cover?
Yes. Yes.
Molly, I love you and you're adorable.
This is what I have to live with.
Oh, God. You're lucky as hell. Shut up.
By the way, tried watching that new Jim Carrey thing on Showtime.
Did you say nude or new?
New.
Okay, thank God. I was like,
He's doing a series called Kidding on Showtime where he's playing like a Mr. Rogers-esque character. I did not like it. I did not like it at all. I got a couple here. All right, we'll go with this. Apple pie.
Apple pie?
Yeah.
Is delicious.
Sometimes.
In this case, I'm guessing it's not.
No.
I don't know. I have like four for entertainment. That is not one of them.
McDonald's has changed the recipe of their apple pie, and customers aren't having it.
Uh-oh.
The new apple pie is no longer...
Does it actually contain real apples?
Well, it always did. There were always apples in there.
I'm kidding. Oh, yeah. Literally, you type it into Google, and every single McDonald's changes apple pie recipe. People are upset. McDonald's changed their apple pie recipe, and people are not thrilled.
The old apple pie... It was basically like an empanada.
It's such a stupid thing to get upset.
Let me defend this in a second. But the old McDonald's apple pie, as we know.
Don't say old McDonald's. You're going to get that song stuck in my head.
Was basically an empanada with like some apple slices and sugar and cinnamon stuffed into it.
Yeah.
And it was delicious. Okay?
I was going to say, why are they messing with that?
So the new apple pie replaces that with a lattice crust. It's got less sugar in it. It's got less cinnamon in it. and it doesn't taste good anymore, which is a problem.
They took away the brown sugar coating. That's what made it.
Yeah.
It just being like melted sugar magic.
And it's like the problem with this is, you know, in a time when everything changes needlessly anyway, like Facebook changes their layout or Google changes their Gmail.
They're just bored.
Everybody's just changing stuff for no particularly good reason. Like something that people have been eating and enjoying for 50 years, suddenly they go and they change it. And it's like, and they're like, we're making it healthier. And people are like, you're McDonald's. All right. I'm not going there for healthy. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for actually putting fresh beef in the quarter pounder. Nice step in the right direction.
Thank you for putting actual chicken in the chicken nuggets.
Why are you screwing up the apple pie?
I love this. God, people are really flipping out about it. I love this tweet by @TheMrLinley. McDonald's, I don't even know what to say. Where's the green box?
Yes.
Where's the apple pie? The Frankenstrudel you have offered tonight is yet another example of big business sticking it to the common man. You know what I'm talking about. Oh, my God.
McDonald's changed
their apple pie crust.
We should be rioting in the streets. You know, I'm on board with this. You got to pick
It's a matter of the, if it's not broken, don't fix it.
If you're going to pick a hill to die on, like McDonald's needlessly messing with apple pie to me is a reasonable hill.
Yeah.
I'm not, you know.
Well, and it's like you said, like I remember as a kid, that used to be the special treat after soccer practice was that one of my friend's moms would take us to McDonald's. And I had a friend who was allergic to poultry, and she would get the chicken nuggets.
Because there's no chicken.
And I'd be like, aren't you? I thought you were allergic to chicken. She's like, there's not chicken in there.
Yeah.
And I thought she was crazy. It was all cornmeal. And then I thought she was crazy. And then I remember shortly afterwards, a couple years later, McDonald's had a whole campaign being like, hey, there's chicken in our chicken nuggets now. That is a positive and necessary change. If you're going to call them chicken nuggets, then yeah, have some actual freaking chicken in there. But this is, I don't think that anyone that was still ordering the apple pie was sitting there being like, I really think it should be in a lettuce form.
Yeah.
And McDonald's, apparently they're also, they're sticking to American grown produce only.
Well, it's an apple slice. By the time you've done wrapping it in pie crust and covering it with sugar and cinnamon, nobody knows or cares where it came from. We want an apple pie that tastes like the old apple pie. And yeah. McDonald's deserves to suffer and burn for this.
I swear, all four of my grandparents are rolling over in their graves at this
McDonald's
revelation.
McDonald's deserves to suffer and does not deserve your business for these high crimes against the apple pie.
Is that the only reason McDonald's deserves to suffer?
Your Boston 5-day forecast. Do you like clouds, Shay? Because, boy, have we got clouds.
Apparently, I'm going to have to learn to like them if I don't already.
Tonight, partly cloudy. Tomorrow, partly cloudy. Friday, partly cloudy. Saturday, partly cloudy. Sunday, partly cloudy. Monday, partly cloudy. We're going to get some variation in temperature and things along with that partly cloudy. Lows in the mid-50s tonight. Highs in the mid-60s tomorrow. Lows in the mid-50s tomorrow night. It's going to be humid and notably so. Same thing on Friday. A little bit warmer. High in the mid-70s. Low in the upper 60s. And then on Saturday, it starts to dry out a bit. High around 70 degrees. Lows in the mid-50s. Sunday will feel autumn-like. High in the mid
autumn-like
high in the mid 60s, low in the mid 50s, and then Monday more or less the same thing, high in the low 60s, high in the upper 50s. Don't forget, the first day of autumn is coming up this weekend.
Oh yeah,
it is on Saturday, and it looks like no, well maybe. Maybe we're getting this humidity out of here just in time for autumn. A lot of rain coming up, so if you like rain, if you like clouds. We got plenty of that going.
Oh, well, thank goodness.
855-915-9636 is the phone number. It is WMFO Medford. Coming up at 9 o'clock tonight, On the Town with Mikey D brings you everything you need to know about the Boston music scene. Before that, Shea Spillane and I, we got some more great stuff to talk about.
We do indeed.
Hijinks galore in the Brett Kavanaugh hearings.
Oh, yeah.
We will dig into that. And Ernie and Bert, have they been outed? Have they not been outed? What is going on with Ernie and Bert? We'll get into that, too, right here on WMFO Medford.
You buying a pork roast or pork chops? This is Sarah Beck for the U.S. Department of Agriculture with a few suggestions. Most stores carry a wide selection of pork cuts, so shop carefully and select the one that suits your needs best. High-quality, fresh pork will be grayish pink or darker in color. Also be sure the meat is firm and not pale, soft, or watery. And consider the amounts of fat and bone when you compare costs per pound of different pork cuts.
Ranger Station.
I'd like to report a bear hug.
Okay.
I put out my campfire and Smokey Bear hugged me.
So you drowned the fire, you stirred it, drowned it again, and felt that it was cold?
Uh-huh.
Yep, he's just letting you know you did good.
Bear hug from Smokey Bear. Status update.
I'm gonna let you go now.
There are many ways to start a fire, but one sure way to put it out. Learn how you can do your part at smokeybear.com.
Sponsored by the U.S. Forest Service Ad Council and your state forester.
Let's get it started in here.
And the bass keeps running, running, and running, running,
and running, running, and running, running, and running, running, and running, running, and running, running, and running, running, and
in this context, there's no disrespect, so when I bust my rhyme, you break your neck. We got 5 minutes for us to disconnect from all intellect and let the rhythm affect. You lose the inhibition, follow your intuition, free your inner soul and break away.